you would turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's my email address, Forrest, F-O-R-R-E-S-T, at develop, D as in David, D as in Victor, E-L-O-P, .biz, and I will send you all the scripture that I used for this today. But it's about 10 pages, and so just let me know and I'll email it to you. Okay?
Does develop have an E on the end?
It does not have an E on the end, nor does it have an E between the D and the V. So normally develop has two E's, D-E-V. It doesn't have that. It's just develop.biz, B-I-Z. Okay? And if you look behind the piano back there, for those of you who are in the room, you can see it written out. Okay. All right, so let's take a look at Proverbs 1. And this is part of a series that I did. And for those of you in South Carolina, no, it is not going to be a 1,700-session series angel study, which is outstanding. But this subject, I don't know, is quite as inexhaustible as that one. But let's start off with Proverbs 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Did you notice several words being repeated over and over? And did I say over again? Well, the words, as you see on the screen, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and instruction. And it's interesting that two or more of these words are run together throughout Proverbs, but also in other areas. And frequently, you see all four in conjunction. If you skip down to verse 20, wisdom suddenly appears to be somewhat human because it says, wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets, which means that only women, this is feminine, have wisdom. True? We know that they have two sides of their brain that they use. We only have one. We're of the male gender. But it says, she cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city, she utters her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. In verse 25, it uses the word counsel and reproof again. And if you go down to verse 29, it says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. And so as you look at these four words in conjunction with each other, and by the way, the word reproof is also frequently the word instruction. But as I studied this and I looked at this for some time, and we've done, I think this is the third time we've discussed this topic. But the question I asked everybody in the group is, please turn off your cell phones. That was the question. Did you turn off your cell phone? Because if you didn't, you might be embarrassed at the fact that it's still on and goes off right in the middle of your study. Okay, I asked my son to call me and do that so that I could warn you as well. So as you look at these four words, first off, is there an order? Is one of these words more important than the other? Is there some type of hierarchy that says, you know, knowledge is most important, or wisdom is most important, or understanding is most important? And what I have now realized in this process, this being the third of the studies, is that the word instruction is also used frequently, and the word instruction is sometimes translated, as I said, reproof and or rebuke and or chastise. But it has to do with discipline. And so that was kind of an aha for me. And yesterday, John, with an I, said, see, I was listening. You lost me from that point on, but John with an I, Ivan, said that, you know, knowledge and understanding, and so as I think about this, this is so important that not only is it given up to us in Proverbs 1, it's repeated in Proverbs 2 and in Proverbs 3, and it just continues throughout all of Proverbs. So just gaining knowledge, does that mean that we can do everything that it says? How many of you, having read through the Bible entirely, can do everything it says? After Israel read the Ten Commandments, were they able to do, because they know those commandments, because they understood those commandments, because they listened to the instruction, were they able to behave at that point in time appropriately because they intellectually knew what to do? And so understanding what the word knowledge means, understanding what the word understanding means, understanding what the word wisdom means, and throw in a little bit of instruction, and does that mean that we now behave differently as a result? Well, let's find out. The word wisdom in this passage that I just read is the Hebrew word chokma, C-H-O-K-M-A-H. And it has to do with a skillfulness. It has to do with wit. And it has to do with not only being wise, but acting wise. And so there's a difference between an intellectual wisdom and an actual experiential wisdom, just like there's a difference between a knowledge and a experiential knowledge or epigenosis. And so as we look at these different words, hopefully we can come up with a better definition and therefore a better understanding of what these words mean. Now, there's in verse 3, there's a different word used for wisdom than in verse 2. And that word is the word sakal, and it has to do with purely an intellectual wisdom. It has to do with guiding wisdom or an instructual wisdom, kind of like an individual that's training somebody else to be as wise, for instance, as they are. So think of it as an engineer teaching an apprentice or mentoring them. He's passing on his wisdom. That doesn't mean they have the same skill. It just means they have the same level of knowledge to hopefully put things together. Let's turn to chapter 2, or Proverbs 2. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Now, notice the difference there. The ear, or what we hear, has to do with wisdom. Our heart has to do with understanding in this passage. "Yea, if thou cries after knowledge and lifts up thy voice for understanding, if thou seeks her as silver and searches for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So in this case, it says that understanding comes from fear, and then we find knowledge. Therefore, it takes understanding before we gain knowledge. Wouldn't you have thought that that would be different? Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm so confused. Which is why I spend so much time working on this. Then it goes on to say, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Alright, so we don't gain wisdom on our own. It's the Lord who gives us wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgments and preserves the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thine heart, now, second time that we've seen heart combined with one of these words. Previously, it was heart and understanding. Now it's heart and wisdom. It says, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. The word discretion here is frequently the same word for understanding. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, who leave the paths of righteous uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You can read then what they don't do if they don't have this knowledge and understanding. And I won't bore you with that. The word understanding here is three words, same root, run together. It's taben, tabanah, tobanah, and it has to do with a level of intelligence. So understanding has to do with a level of intelligence. It has to do with discretion and reason. And so, think about it for a second. If I understand gravity, if I jump off a cliff, I'm going to fall and it's going to hurt. Alright? Now, but if it were experiential, it'd be called stupidity to do it a second time. But discretion would say, because I understand gravity, when I'm around a cliff, I better be careful. I better be sure-footed. And so there's a little bit of a hint about the word understanding and the difference between it and wisdom. Even though it says here that it has to do with the level of intelligence. Well, I would think that's probably true. An absolute moron, even if they fell off a cliff, may not necessarily act discreet around a cliff the second time. Why? They don't get it. They're not too smart. They're on the short bus. The word understand, however, as opposed to understanding, is a different word, which is why it's so confusing. It's because they continually interchange these different Hebrew words. And it's the word beni, B-Y-N. But it's pronounced beni. And it has to do with being discerning, being diligent, having intelligence, and having cunning. So now we have a word that almost has a negative connotation, being cunning. If you're a general and you're strategizing how to conquer the Canaanites, cunning's a good word. If you're the Canaanites getting ready to conquer the Israelites, it's a bad connotation. To understand here, and what's interesting to me is that it just talked about the heart understanding, and yet it has to do with intelligence. It has to do with something mental, which either shows that the Hebrews didn't understand where the heart was or where the brain was, one of the two, which is, we know is true. It also has to do with being prudent. And so we see, there are some really, really smart people, intellectual people, but they say some of the stupidest things. And I'm one of them, not that I'm one of the really smart people, but I say some pretty stupid things. I don't know why, but I look at my wife and she's got that look, and I think to myself, did that really just come out of my mouth? Did it? Obviously, absolutely no discernment whatsoever on my part. So I'm not saying I have any of these four basically, sorry, but maybe if we continue I can figure some of this out. As you look to Proverbs 3, remember Solomon is writing from a perspective about what he knew and what David had taught him. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So all these commandments, all of this instruction that was given, would give him understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Now that's interesting, because didn't he just say that you'd have good understanding if you did these things? But now he's saying, don't lean unto your own understanding, which means that this instruction has got to be godly. It's got to be appropriate from the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In other words, all of your behavior, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now there's a different word, and it's a negative wisdom. It's that kind of cunning that was part of understanding, but it has a negative connotation it is where pride and intellect come together, and as a result, and there's obviously no fear of the Lord, it says. Move on to Proverbs 4. Verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of the Father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Wait a minute, I thought wisdom came from the Lord. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not. So we can forget wisdom. Now, I forget a lot of knowledge. My wife will tell me something one day, and I'll completely forget the next. I am scheduling people out 3-4 months in advance, and sometimes I forget certain things. Does that mean I have no wisdom and understanding? But it says that I can actually forget wisdom and understanding. Neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Okay, so wait a minute. Maybe wisdom is part of a hierarchy. Maybe wisdom is the ultimate that we can attain. And so I'm thinking, gee, I think I've kind of got this figured out. I can see a progression now. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting understanding. Well, wait a minute. You just said wisdom is the principal thing. Is understanding and wisdom the same? Actually, frequently, they're the same word, but translated differently, based on context. And now, bear with me, but skip over to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 9. Says, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Okay, wisdom again seems to be elevated above instruction and knowledge. Well, what exactly is the word instruction? It's the Hebrew word musar. And it is frequently the word used for chastise or chastisement. It is defined as a warning or reproof, correction, and discipline. And so, if you think about it, I can give instructions, as was the case from father to son. What happens if they don't follow it? There's just an exchange of knowledge, right? That's not the kind of instruction they're talking about here. The kind of instruction they're talking about here is a discipline instruction, where experientially, as a person tries to do what you've told them to do and don't, that there's some type of, that's not what I was talking about. That's the wrong way to do it, or there's a better way to do it, or let me critique it and help you get better. Skip down to Proverbs 10, verse 17. It says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, But he that refuseth reproof erreth. Same word. Instruction and reproof. Same Hebrew word. It's the word tokecha. And it has to do with chastening, rebuke, reproof, etc. Skip down to verse 23. It says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Right? So fool and wisdom are two opposites. There's a contrast there. Just as mischief and understanding are contrasted. And so we have a better idea of understanding when we see it compared to the opposite, which is mischief. And I believe that much of what we read in Scripture was given to us as contrasts. And we have light and dark. We have good and evil. And so we see those contrasts because how do you know what light is until you experience darkness? And when you've got darkness and the light comes on, isn't it amazing? All right, so go over to chapter 12. Verse 11, it says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons, substitute the word frivolous, is void of understanding. And vain has to do with empty. It has to do with that there's no value there whatsoever. And so, you know, a person really has understanding when they know that, look, I've got to break up the ground, I've got to plant seed if I ever expect to harvest anything. And therefore, they're going to be satisfied with bread. The person that just follows frivolity, that just figures, you know what, bread will fall out of the sky, they are void of any understanding whatsoever. They don't get it. They don't even know what gravity is, probably. All right, so as you move from there, go over now to Proverbs 15. It says, the ear that heareth, Proverbs 15:31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction, same word, despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now, this one verse really helped me understand the association between wisdom, which is intellectual, versus wisdom, which is experiential. And that anybody who despises instruction or reproof or chastisement is going to be void of any wisdom whatsoever. They're never going to fully get it. I'll bet you those of you who have been teachers in the room, Mel especially, Gene, they've got kids sometimes that you tell them, and they never get it. They just never get it. Now, they may be full of all kinds of mischief, and you may reprove them, but they just never get it. And that's a pretty good definition of my Christian life, if you will. You know, sometimes you just do stuff, and it's you know you shouldn't, but you do it. I know I'm not supposed to eat those Cinnabons, but I did. Now, how smart is that? Obviously, I'm void of wisdom. Now, why is all of this an important piece for us to understand, and why is it something that we need to internalize to ourselves? Well, understanding Solomon's perspective as he writes the Proverbs, you have to go back to 1 Kings, which talks about Solomon coming on the scene in the beginning. So go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 9. It says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, For who is able to judge this so great a people? This is right after the Lord has asked Solomon. The context of this is, what do you want? And Solomon says, well, give me an understanding heart. Notice it's an understanding heart. He didn't say, give me a really super intelligent brain or a strong arm. He said, give me an understanding heart. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding, to discern judgment. Notice that understanding and discernment go hand in hand. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all these days. All right, so Solomon's given this wise and understanding heart. Now, the proof of how wise he is a story that's told over and over about two women that come to him. They've got one child. They're both saying, this is my child. The other person is saying, no, her child died. And he doesn't know what to do, so he says, go get a sword. We'll cut them in half. You can each have half. I don't know why that sounds smart.
Sounds fair.
But it sounds fair. And so, did he actually split the child?
No.
No. And instead, the one who was the real mother said, let her have it. And Solomon then knew who really loved that child, and therefore who was the real mother. And so, that is an understanding heart. That is obviously incredible wisdom. And where did it come from? It was given to him by the Lord. He was young. It wasn't experiential. Now maybe because of some of the instruction and the things that he was given by his father David, maybe some of this stuff is sinking in and he's able to immediately follow through on it. But in most cases, you know, how many teenage boys, how many boys in their 20s and or early 30s really have it all figured out? Okay. I know all of our sons did. Do. Okay, Nellie did. As you look at the word understanding here, it happens to be the same word used as wisdom previously. Then the second time where it says a wise and understanding heart, you have a different Hebrew word, and it's that three-word Hebrew word that I gave you before that has to do with discretion and reason, okay, so, which is the ability to problem solve. And so Solomon had the ability to problem solve, which is different than, just having knowledge. And, you know, I know a lot of incredibly intelligent doctors, for instance. I know a lot of individuals that are incredibly smart engineers or computer people, etc. Those individuals have provided great problem-solving skills into their work. And it seems like the two go together, but not always. One of the other words that we think about when we think about problem solving is the thing called common sense. And what it was, it Rogers? Who's a famous writer? He'll come to me about 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, he said that common sense isn't common. And I think that that's probably true amongst a lot of people. So it was smart for Solomon to ask for this. In Exodus, if you go back, and we're not going to cover all of these different verses, but if you ask me to send you a copy of this, I will do so. But I just want to look at one in Exodus. Exodus 28, verse 3. Hmm. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses, and he says, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted," notice the heart is involved here, "whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe," blah, 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 blah. The point is, this spirit of wisdom was filled within them from the Lord. In Exodus 31, verse 3, it says, "I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works." Now, these are craftsman-type works, not cunning as in a negative connotation, to work in gold and silver and brass, etc. If you go to Psalms 49 and look at verse 3. "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding." My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So we have heart, understanding, and wisdom all together again. And the word for wisdom here actually is a word that is translated heart in several other places. It's the word L-E-B. It has to do not only with our intellectual, but our actions that demonstrate how wise we are, and therefore they thought that was of the heart. And given the time that we have, I'm going to skip over to the New Testament, if you will. And go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Says, "And he said unto them," this is the Lord, "these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written." So, they had knowledge previously. They had instruction previously because of who? The law of Moses, the prophets, and that were in the Psalms. And yet, they didn't have understanding. He had to give that to them. And so, understanding seems to me to be somewhat of a level above these two that were given previously. In James chapter 3, sorry, I'm making you skip around a little bit, but we'll get a little more succinct here in a moment. James chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" Okay, so it takes knowledge to be wise. You don't get one without the other. "Let him show out of a good conversation," or a good walk, a good life pattern, "his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter and envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So, we have a wisdom from men that's not above. It's from here. But then we have another wisdom that comes from above. And so is it something that you attain? And if you attain it, is it based on your own actions or work or experiences? Or was it like those craftsmen that were given this wisdom and understanding from the Lord to be able to do what he wanted them to do? Did Noah, for instance, have wisdom of building a ship? No, what did he have? Instructions from the Lord. And those instructions were a set of plans or knowledge that was given to him. All right, let's go to Ephesians. And this verse is what, when I thought about this verse in conjunction with what I read in Proverbs 1, I began to realize, wait a minute, there is a real connection between this Old Testament information provided to us by Solomon and what Paul provides us as well. Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also have, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and above unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. It's given to us by God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the revelation in knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, the knowledge that's here is not just to know something. It's epigenosis, which is an above knowledge. It has to do with a complete discernment on our part. And it is considered more of an experiential knowledge. And the word, a Greek word, dioneia, and it has to do with something through exercise. So, in other words, if you will, kind of a discipline that it takes to get understanding. The wisdom and knowledge may be given to us by revelation, but the understanding of that takes some type of discernment on our part. Now, I think about that and I just look at the church today compared to religion today. They have the same knowledge I do. They have the same set of instructions that I do. And yet they don't get it. They don't understand. Why not? It's because I heard someone say they put it in a blender. The analogy that I use frequently is that if someone took a book and put it on the top of your car and drove down the freeway at 90 miles an hour and all the pages blew out, somebody came a week later, picked up all the pages, tried to put them all back together, taped them all together, what would you have? You'd have the Bible. Okay, because it's not designed as a novel beginning and end, even though we have Genesis and Revelation from one end to the other. So it's tough to understand if you don't get the chronology as well. Ephesians 3, verse 10 says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Now yesterday we heard that Paul was given the ministry unto the Gentiles, and here it is again. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, that to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, to get all men to understand this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, so this wisdom is God's wisdom. It's not our wisdom. But they might know, or might have it known, based on this revelation. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence by faith of him. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, moderation has to do with discipline, by the way, and discernment. "The Lord is at hand. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, here we have hearts and minds and understanding in the same passage, the same word. And so, remember, Solomon was given an understanding heart. He was given a wise heart. So we have our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace that we have is because we get it. It's one thing to have knowledge. From the time I was a little kid, having gone to first a Lutheran church and then to a Methodist church, I was taught who God was, but I didn't get it. I thought Jesus Christ was something my dad yelled at me from time to time. So I didn't get it. I didn't have an understanding heart or mind about this, and therefore I had no peace whatsoever about life and or life after death. Then he says, here's, if you want this peace, think on these things, not the things of the world. So we'll skip over that. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man." Okay, now, if I have knowledge of the Scripture, can I answer every man? If I have knowledge and understanding combined, I think that's when you get wisdom. And when you have this wisdom, you have the ability to not only redeem the time, but you know what your speech should be like. You know, it takes discretion to have appropriate speech at the appropriate time, the appropriate tone, the appropriate manner for the appropriate person. I'm typically inappropriate in all of those areas. But that's because I love to tease Mel. And my wife. And pretty much everybody else. Go down to Ephesians 4. Go over to Ephesians 4. We're going to skip back and forth here, I'm sorry. Ephesians 4. "This I say therefore," verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." So they don't get it. "Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Right? Well, no wonder they don't have understanding. I mean, they don't even have knowledge. They don't even know who God is. They have gods, but they don't have the God. And then it goes to say, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all cleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." And then it goes on to talk about things that you can do as well. Go to Colossians 2, and we're going to do two more references, and then I'll wrap it up. Colossians 2, verse 1 through 3. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches, all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Okay, so wisdom and knowledge are treasures hid within God. It takes understanding to get to that wisdom. It doesn't take just knowledge. Knowledge is something that everybody can have available to them. We have all this knowledge on the internet. How many people understand it all? How many people get it all? How many can use it all? They don't. And let me conclude with Colossians. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Colossians 1:9. So we have the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Interesting. You have knowledge. As a result, we get understanding and wisdom. Therefore, we are able to walk worthy. And what do we then do next? We're fruitful. And then what do next? We increase in knowledge. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And so, I might be right, I might be wrong. I'm throwing this out to you, and we can talk about it as we take a break between speakers here. But one of the things I thought is, maybe it takes these three ingredients to equal wisdom. Maybe when you take instruction, knowledge, and understanding and put them in the blender, what it spits out is this wisdom. Or maybe if you look at what the behavioral scientists will say, is that we do things, we act sometimes because of what we know, what we think, the intelligence or the logic that we possess. Sometimes we act based on how we feel. And then sometimes we act out of habit or behaviors that are based on experiential. So when you compare that to what we've just talked about, think and or knowledge, feel and or understanding heart, we heard, and act, which are our habits based on everything else above it. And by the way, add a little bit of instruction here, and you have a chance to get understanding. For instance, child, you give knowledge, don't touch the stove. The child goes towards the stove and you say, "No, no, no." And you spank them on the bottom and you say, "Move away." That's discipline, right? They walk, they now realize that pain and doing what you say is consistent with each other, okay? They decide, heck with that, I'm going to go over and touch the stove anyway and figure this thing out. And then they go what?
Ow!
Now they have understanding. Okay? And if, from this point forward, they never, ever, ever touch the stove again when they're told that it's hot, now they're acting out of wisdom. So, is that the right way? I don't think so. I think it goes beyond that. Because of the last verses we read, it starts with knowledge. You add a little of instruction or discipline, they get understanding. And because of understanding, they act wisely, and therefore they go out and they increase their knowledge. And what happens? The cycle starts all over again. And this cycle, if I could draw it, would be a spiral that goes up and up.
Is that a helix?
And up. Sorry?
Is that a helix?
If you're an engineer, you would know what that means, maybe. A helix. A helix. Looks like a tornado type
like
thing?
Spring.
Like a spring, okay. We call that a slinky if you're a layman. Okay, let's I don't know the answer to this. And I don't want to take this, you know, a long time. I've gone a little bit beyond the time I should have, but we started late. So but anybody else have a perspective on this that they want to share just briefly, real quick? Anybody awake?
I like the Lord's verse. Wisdom is justified over children.
Okay.
I love her.
Yeah, actually, if you really want to do an exhaustive study, it really is exhaustive because the times the word wise and wisdom are together and the frequency. And what's interesting is the number of times the same word is translated differently. It's got, you know, sometimes wisdom is wisdom, sometimes wisdom is understanding, and sometimes understanding is wisdom, and sometimes It's different. So it goes back and forth. All right, let's close in a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you that you give us an understanding heart as we deal with each of the saints. And Lord, we just pray for your wisdom from on high. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Are we going to take a